Good morning, Teach Better Family. My name is Katie Miglin, and I'm with Joshua Stamper, and we are in all black today because we just added a twin for you. That's funny. Happy Monday. I think it's Monday. Happy Teach Better Today, where we go live every single weekday, Monday through Friday, on all your streaming platforms. And I'm excited. We just had a great weekend together. Josh, I'm honestly kind of surprised you're not sick of me at this point. But we got some fun topics to talk about today, so stick with us. We'll be right back. Good morning, Teach Better family. Welcome back to another rousing morning of Teach Better Today, where we go live on all your streaming platforms to talk shop, to give you some nuggets of information and to start your day strong. Good morning, Josh. Happy Monday.
Good morning, Katie. Hopefully you can hear me. My mic, for some reason, is going in and out. So,
it sounds okay to us. You sound great.
Okay, well, you know, I was kind of concerned with technology this morning, but it seems like it's working. So,
so far, so good. If I just start going, that means like we can't hear you. Okay.
There's gonna be a lot of emotions for those who are watching on video formats.
Yes. So if you're listening to us on your podcast, we apologize now for any weird hand motions that you will miss out on. And one thing you are missing out on is our wardrobe choice. I felt like a couple weeks ago, I was twinning with Jeff. Now I'm twinning with you.
I would disagree, actually. You're wearing black. I'm in all blue.
Oh, is that what it is? It looks black from here.
I think you're just colorblind. I think we're finally noticing that and accepting it on Teach Better Today.
It's true. I'm going to get help. It's fine. Well, good morning. Welcome, everybody. We hope you had a fabulous weekend. We had an epic weekend because we were together for 12 hours. I'm still, you know, catching up on like life and sleep, and I still have wrappers on my desk from all the snacks, but
yes,
that's okay because it was a good weekend. And hopefully you had a relaxing Sunday and we're ready to start the week strong. First full week in March, and I do always feel like once we get into March, it does just feel like things are a little lighter. The days are a little longer. You know, there's like in our house, I know we like kind of talked through, we only have a couple more months of school and all that good stuff. And hopefully some of the illnesses start to make their way out of everyone's system, though I can't guarantee that.
It's not a good year.
No, it is not a good year. But I will say, at least in Illinois, we've had phenomenal weather. I do think that means we will get a snowstorm like in mid-April. I assume that that's what that's going to mean. I did ask my husband to put out our patio furniture because I was like, it's starting to be nice. Can we sit outside? And he goes, the second we put that patio furniture out, all of the neighbors will be mad at us because we will get a snowstorm. And I was like, so
I was going to say the exact same thing. As soon as you put it out tomorrow, it's going to snow.
Exactly. So it's still packed up, you guys. No one yell at me. It's still packed up. I promise it'll come out later. But
so when is the appropriate time to pull that stuff out? I'm curious.
Okay. That's a $1 million question because there have been times where, like, I think last year we got snow like end of April and then everything gets covered in snow and then it's just depressing. So I don't know when, I mean, you're in Colorado, so you get snow, I think like in July, but
if I was in the mountains, yes. I mean, it's been nice here too. I mean, me and you were messaging each other back and forth because you were in 60s and so were we.
Yeah.
But it's crazy because, and I remember this growing up in Minnesota, but like I've been out of winter for a long time, you know, and Texas is always warm. So here, like, there's still snow on the ground, still melting, even though we've had 3 days, 4 days of 60 degree weather, you know, so it's just kind of weird that it still exists. Obviously in the mountains, it makes sense, you know, right, different elevation, it's colder, whatnot. I remember us visiting in June and going up to the top of the mountain and sledding up there, you know, so it was crazy, but fun also. But just the different elevation, the temperatures, that makes sense to me. But like being down here and still having piles of snow left over, it's kind of crazy. But yeah, looking at the calendar, a couple weeks. I think we have like 3 weeks here before the kids get spring break. They're chomping at the bit. I think everyone around here is ready for just kind of things to wrap up and progress through the spring.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, it's so dicey. And I feel like, you know, like you guys in the Midwest, it's so like hit or miss. So I do feel like you're kind of just like hoping for the best when you pull all the furniture out and you're like, I know sometimes it has been like middle of May before it's like officially all gotten unpacked, mm-hmm. because then it like seems pretty, like we're pretty confident it's going to be good. But yeah, I don't know, wherever you're at, hopefully your weather has been pleasant, whatever your definition is of pleasant. Some people love the snow, some people love the heat. Wherever you're at, hopefully you've been able to enjoy some outside time, enjoy the sun. Honestly, just the sun has been out like longer. It's been really, really great to not like come, like go to work and come home from work in darkness. So enjoy those moments. But Josh, we are, you know, we're like kind of at that point in the school year, at least around here, I feel like, where it's like, yes, people are getting excited about their like social lives, you know, like the freeness of the days, but it also is like right on the cusp of testing season, and where teachers start to like wrap up curriculum, you know, they're starting to like, they feel like they're in that sweet spot of like, I've got about a month before things start to transition for us to like have students out. And would you say that's like pretty consistent? Like, do you feel that way from an administrative lens? Like, mm-hmm. is that kind of the vibe that you start to get in March and April?
Yeah, it's funny because we were talking about this about in Admin Mastermind a couple of weeks ago about just like the very long laundry list of things that happen in the spring that you forget about, right? The excitement of the fall, holidays, the breaks, and then you get into spring and it's like, oh, you know what? We have campus goals. We have teacher goals. We have all these evaluations due. It just seems like as fun as the spring can be, because the sun's coming out, you get spring break, you get this idea that summer's around the corner, there's also a lot of things you got to kind of dot your I's and cross your T's with. And there's a lot of documentation that's needing to be done. A lot of people are now in the hiring season of looking as far as staff allocations, what we're going to do in regards to like positions that need to be either cut or expanded. And of course, promotions. You know, people are also looking right now of, oh, there's a job that I want to pursue, and so I'm going to start putting in my application and go through that process. And so there's just kind of this revolving door of trying to figure out what is the group going to look like for staffing next year. So yeah, there's just a lot of added stress that you kind of forget about in the hustle and bustle of the fall. And then right about now, you start to realize I have a lot of work to do and there's not a whole lot of time to do it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I literally was just texting with an educator this morning and she was like, I feel so behind every day. Like, she's like, I just can't seem to get ahead. And it's like, it's weird because you get this like, and I remember this too, when being in the classroom, like the excitement of the nice like days and the, you know, the spring and all the fun stuff, the award ceremonies. And, you know, for us, it was drama theater season and stuff. Like, there's all those excitement, but then it's coupled with the never ending to-do list. And it creates that balance of like, where am I going to put my attention so that I can be present and be in those moments that are fun and memorable for students and our families, but then also like not feel like you're constantly drowning. So just know that we are here to support you. We are here if you just need to like, you know, like, I just need to talk this out with somebody. Like, you can always call us, DM us, send us emails. We are here to help, because we know this time of year can be a weird mix of emotions and feelings. And we just want to kind of help you get to the end, because it's almost spring and you've got this. And yeah. So Josh, do you want to get into a really fun topic where I'm going to pick your brain and you're going to answer all of the problems of the world?
Oh my goodness. Yes. I can't wait, Katie.
Okay. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Teach Better Family. My name is Katie Miglin, and I'm with Joshua double underscore Stamper. And we are here to bring you your Teach Better Today morning show. We are so glad that you're either joining us live on one of our wonderful streaming platforms, or you're catching us later on our podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, tell us how awesome we are, you know, all those good things. We appreciate all of that. Today, we are answering a listener question, which Josh and I tend to like answering those because some of them are like just really thought-provoking. But one today, I told Josh, I was like, I'm going to read this and you're going to sense the spot where this teacher was at when they asked it, because you can just sense there was a lot of feelings, which we've all been there. There's a lot of feelings. But essentially, the teacher is asking, how do you reach that one loud, disruptive, disrespectful student? And then, like, you know, how do you get to them? And I was like, hey, Josh, this is totally your jam because you talk about behaviors all the time. So, Josh, you've got this student, and it's like, you know, whether you're a secondary teacher and that student's coming in for like a short period of time throughout the day, or you're in elementary and you're with them for the long haul of the entire day, what do you do? How do you help them? Ready, set, go.
Awesome. Well, Katie, we talked about this a little bit on Saturday, right? As far as the language of behavior. So, you know, if you view the behavior as a form of communication, it's what is this child trying to tell me, right? And so, unfortunately, especially this time of year, you have spent so many hours with this child, and especially if you're in elementary, right? You spend every day with them for a long duration. And, you know, it's literally 6-7 months that you're trying to work with a student. And I think in education, it's really difficult because a lot of times we don't get to see the product in which we're feeding into, right? We pour into our students every single day. We obviously love them, care for them, and we try to do what's best. And when we get to this point in the year, it's really frustrating, and it's hard not to take it personal because it does sometimes feel like you are literally doing this to get after me or to get, you know, back to me. And that's kind of true. It's kind of like a family, right? I know growing up, my sister knew exactly what buttons to push to get me riled up and going. And, you know, when you spend so much time, and a lot of times it's more time with our students than with our own family members, they get to know you even better, to know what to do to get you to be upset and to get under your skin. And so we just have to understand that, you know, as an educator, as a teacher, as an administrator, you know, not to take it personally. Okay, there's something obviously bigger going on. And so with that, I just ask that, like, everyone that's feeling this, you're not alone. It's very natural. Even as an administrator, I felt this many, many times. And sometimes I just had to step away from the moment and the conversation and just understand that by doing that, I'm not losing power, but also that I need to calm myself, regulate my emotions to then come back to it, because I knew that the student was upset and they were trying to get a reaction out of me. And so with the question though, Katie, just to dive into that more. Yeah, I think, you know, looking at change of behavior, right? Looking at what's going on at a greater point and really trying to get after the relationship, trying to build that, making sure that you are a trusted individual in their life and letting them know that the behavior that they're showing is not appropriate. Obviously, I am very much into having consequences for behavior, but at the same point, we also need to be able to teach what we're expecting. And too often, and I talked about this on Saturday, is that we just assume that whatever age they are, that they should possess these skills and they should know how to behave. And that's just the expectation, right? I am here as a teacher to teach the curriculum, the objectives, and make sure that there's mastery. And that is true. But the other side of it is we also have to teach behavior, how to be able to be in tune with our emotions, how to work through stressful and adverse situations. So there is another component to, yes, we need to teach math and science and English and all that kind of stuff, but also how do we teach really the future ready skills, the essential skills for these students to be successful as adults. And if we don't have that built in somewhere into our lessons, into our classroom, then I think it's really hard to then just punish and expect that the behavior is magically going to be made and appear, which we all know that doesn't really happen.
Well, yeah, I think it's in those moments, you know, when you're frustrated or whether it's like day 4 of a student being a problem, you know, it's so hard to like remind yourself of all the things you've said. And I want to, you know, shout out to a teacher I used to work with. She was so good at reminding me that there was a bigger story beyond what we would see. And it, you almost had to have someone in your life to remind you of that. In those moments when you're heightened, or even after class, even if you've handled the situation well, when that student leaves your classroom and you're like, oh, I'm so like frustrated by this, you almost need someone to say, you need a Joshua Stamper to say, what else could be going on? And one thing I always appreciate about this teacher I used to work with is she stopped caring about teaching the student the content, because she was like, right now, that's my secondary role. My primary role is to help them be functional, because you're, you know, in some ways they're right. Like, you aren't going to be able, that student won't be able to get very far if they're disrespecting other people, if they're argumentative, whatever the thing is. So being able to teach them life skills first, then the content can come secondary. And so, you know, she just like loved on them more than they maybe, you know, acted like they needed. You know, it was like, do you need a snack? Have you eaten breakfast today? Do you need to like go sit in the back and just like take a minute to yourself? Like, she just looked for all those behaviors, all those signs of where we see disrespect. She saw it as, this student needs something more than what my curriculum is going to give them. And I love when, especially like still talking to her, talking to you, like I love being reminded of that, because it is in those moments so easy to get wrapped up in the emotions when reality is like, there might be other things going on. And maybe they're a student that doesn't have, like, they have a great home life. Maybe they're just like an angry student. You don't know, but you've got to take time to get to know them and help them and let them know that you're there for them and that they can be successful. Just it might look different for them than other students.
Yeah. I think what you're saying is perfect. I mean, like I always talk about, you know, when I'm speaking at conferences or with school districts, it's about there's missing pieces, right? We don't have, it's a puzzle and we're trying to put it together. And sometimes you never get the piece, but you have to understand that, you know, for me, it's like, and me and Brad talked about this on Aspire to Lead, was like being curious, not judgmental. Like we a lot of times we fill in the voids with something negative instead of like trying to solve that mystery of what is that gap? What is that that's missing? And sometimes we look at the parents and the situation at home and we just assume that it's like this wonderful environment and whatnot. Right. When we sit down with the kid and really dive into what's going on at home, I mean, some of the stories are just heartbreaking that they're living through. And you would never know that from the outside looking in. But when you do some discovery and that curiosity piece of trying to get to the bottom of it, there's some really big things that our kids are going through where school is not the top priority. It's not, it's survival is. And so when you have that component, you do need to kind of maybe pivot away from the curriculum lesson plan and maybe give them some time to learn those skills. Or like I said, you know, trying to build that personal relationship with them instead of trying to just push forward. And we talked about this before in the spring, right? We're all under pressure. It's testing time. We're trying to get people ready for a real high stakes exam. And everyone in the building's feeling it. But at the same time, like that added pressure to already a kid that may have been through some sort of trauma, that's not what they care about. That they're just trying to get by. And so, you know, if you're not doing self check-ins with your class, maybe just do it with that individual student that you're having a tough time with. You know, we always did like these strategies. We used to do what we'll call a two by two, which is 2 weeks, 2 minutes with the student to really just dive into who they are as an individual, to build that trust and to let them understand, like, I care about you on an individual level. And I want to make sure I'm getting to know you more. So trying to build a trusting, healthy relationship with them and modeling and not only getting to know them, but them getting to know you as an individual, because that's important. You know, our kids want to make those connections. So what are you doing in your class to go beyond the curriculum and figure out what's going on in life, but then also get to know them as an individual?
Oh, I love that. So good. And we know that there are students all over the world that are, you know, disrupting our learning environment, but continuing to remind yourself that there is more to them. Like Josh said, being more curious and not so much just reactive or accusing is just helpful in getting to know those students. But if you, at any point, if you're like, yeah, that's great, but you know how to get a hold of us, because we would love, really, I'm going to send you to Josh because he's way better at this, but we would love to just like talk shop and kind of talk through, like, is there, you know, what's triggering the student? What are things that are happening so that we can help you meet all of the needs of all your students? Because we know sometimes it's super challenging and there's only so many hours in the day. So we're here to support you. We're here to cheer you on, because we know you're just simply by listening to this, you're an awesome educator. So continue to remind yourself of that. And just your goal is a little bit better today than you were yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. Great way to say it.
Well, thanks, Josh. This was super fun. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of like sick of you. We've spent like a lot of time together. So just kidding.
It's finally coming out. You have
it is.
Said what you're truly feeling.
Yes. I think I need a break from, just kidding. I can never need a break from Joshua Stamper. So. All right, everybody, we have a great week and we'll see you next time.
Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.